Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself. Prepare yourselves.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
For Greg Papa. John Lund.
It's 10 o'clock. Let's hit it.
This is Papa and Lund.
That's right. We're getting it going.
Getting it going. On KNBR 104.5 and 680. 680. The sports leader. Sports
leader. Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade after he and the 49ers have been unable to get an extension done, according to our NFL Network insider, Mike Garafolo. The 49ers receiver is under contract for a little more than $14 million this season. Garafolo adds that the former 2020 first-round pick is asking out after the Niners have been unwilling to engage in negotiations on a long-term extension since May. Ayuk has 27 total touchdowns in four seasons in San Francisco. He had 1,342 yards and seven touchdowns receiving last season.
Yeah, I've laid this out previously, and to me, this is part of the overall landscape. Obviously, him letting it be known publicly that he has requested a trade is an escalation on his part, but we've kind of seen the disconnect between the two sides, and I still think it's a very fluid situation that we don't know how it's going to play out. 2 years ago, Deepa Samuel, earlier on in the process, publicly requested a trade. They hung tough. They threw money at the problem. It worked out. He's here, although that could change, too, in a heartbeat.
Yes, thanks for joining us, John Lund, Carlos Ramirez. It is awesome to have Carlos once again in the house as we get you ready for a ton of things today. Did we resolve anything at all with this whole Brandon Ayuk situation yesterday? Because about 10 minutes into the show, we were all set to talk Giants. And then all of a sudden, it was like, Walter sends me a text. I look up, and we go from talking about Carlos's hair, which looks wonderful, by the way, to...
Thank you. I have a question, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are you? Why am I here?
I know,
by myself.
Well,
we talked about this
I
yesterday,
know,
John.
We talked about it at
and
length,
I, and now
actually.
I feel you did it on purpose because you want to get away from me. Or it's either that, or since it's my final fill-in for now, you wanted to give me the full Papa and Lund experience.
I feel really bad. I have a procedure today, and my doctor moved
procedure
up.
Okay.
And it's nothing major. It's just before football season, you got to get all these things done because you don't have any time. And so they called me yesterday afternoon and said, can you actually make it a half hour earlier? And I'm like, ugh. And so it's out by me. I couldn't have made it with all the traffic. And so I felt really bad because you and I, during a break yesterday, had a very long conversation about it because I like it. I'd much rather be in the studio and hang out with you. But if you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, I'm in my dungeon studio.
Which is lovely, by the way. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's got some stuff. But, by the way, we both got haircuts yesterday. Mine went a little short. Yours is amazing.
Thank you.
It looks very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. We had a long conversation.
My brother's at Height Street Barbershop in Height Street.
And that's where you get it done?
That's where I go, yeah.
That's very nice.
My guy Ray, my guy Alan Meneses, it's all the crew. It's a great barbershop.
So they just is it a barbershop in the truest sense where you chop it up?
You guys
chop it up and hang out?
Yes. We have beer. We have monitors going. We have the conversation, the trash talking happening.
Really?
It's what every movie that depicts a barbershop looks like. It's the same thing.
Oh, I miss that.
It's amazing.
And again, my hairstylist could be listening. She's a woman, and she's done a great job, and I've gone to her for years.
Right.
Because there's not a lot to work with. It's just not good. And so she does the best she can. But I do hearken for the days because I did back in the day go to a barbershop. And it is nice. You just kind of chop it up a little bit.
It's so nice that I live an hour 20 from them.
Yeah.
And I haven't moved. And I won't move.
That is nice. Yeah. That is nice. All right. We have a ton to get to today. We're going to get to the Giants. We're going to get to the All-Star game. We're going to talk to Andrew Brandt at 10:30 to kick things off. He was part of the Green Bay front office for years and years and years with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and others. And so he can give us some insight into this Brandon Ayuk situation. But before we jump to the All-Star game, and we're not going to talk about it as much as we did yesterday because it seems like we spent the whole day on Brandon Ayuk. But
right.
We had Mike Silver on. Matt Maiocco came out in the afternoon show. I was listening to Tolbert and Copes coming home, getting his viewpoint. Everybody seemed to talk about it. After all this, it seems like that we're back where we were. Brandon Ayuk said, trade me. 49ers said no. And here we are. Did we accomplish anything yesterday? Anything new?
Well, I think, who do you mean by we?
The situation. I guess not we.
Yeah, the situation.
The situation.
Well, I think Brandon accomplished media pressure, which is what I would think the measure was destined to accomplish, is to bring the problem forward, to give it more coverage, you know, social media exposure, television, radio talk. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Tolbert and Copes talked about it. Other stations did, TV, national. So it became a topic. So if that was his target, he hit the bullseye. If the target was to speed up the conversation or to accelerate the process of him getting a new contract or getting traded, I don't think so, because the Niners were pretty adamant via Adam Schefter that, guess what? We pretty much are not going to budge. And why would they? They have the stick in their hand. They have control over the situation. So why would they be inclined to oblige? Mm-hmm. What happened yesterday has no effect. Do you think Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch lost sleep over what happened? And I mean that in a good way. I don't mean like they don't care. They do care. It's a player. They love him. They want to have him with them. But I'm pretty sure they're like, okay, we pretty much knew this was happening. They have been through this before, John, several times.
Right.
So,
and they've always been able to outweigh the player. And we've talked about this when guys have signed, you know, either July, August. And the one thing I'll always go back to, because at the beginning of this whole thing, I kept saying this. Now, I don't know if this is going to be the case now. Buckner was a guy they traded to the Colts. They didn't draft him. But any player that John and Kyle has drafted and wanted to keep and extend, they have. And even if it has taken a long time, they have kept every player that they've attempted to re-sign that they drafted, that was a homegrown pick. And that would include Brandon Ayuk if this can get done. And I'm not going to plow over the land that we did yesterday, because we went over a ton of it. But the one thing I did look up this morning was, there's a few different places, over the cap or Spot Rack or any of those places that you would want to go on, and you can see guys' contracts now. Well, Spot Rack did a thing where they analyzed what Brandon Ayuk is worth, and they came to 4-104 with $66 million up front. Now, the only reason I bring that up is because ESPN, whether you want to believe it or not, because most people are mad because Brock Purdy's not a top 10 in their rankings, but they did rankings of wide receivers, and they put Brandon Ayuk 10th. Based on what Spot Rack did, 4-104 with 66 guaranteed, that makes him the 8th highest paid wide receiver in the league. That seems fair to me. That's $26.7 million per season for Brandon Ayuk. Apparently, he's wanting about $30 million, but the guys ahead of him would be Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, and then guys who are unsigned that I'm assuming are going to get more money, which are going to be guys like, you know, Jamar Chase in Cincinnati, right? And
right.
You know, guys like that who haven't gotten their deals done. There's a couple other guys out there. But that puts him in the mix of a top 10 wide receiver. Now, I understand why his agent wants 30, because Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that's what we're hearing now. They were close to a deal. Then the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal came down at 30 per, and they went, whoa, 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 whoa. He's as good as that guy. He could do the things that guy does. So I understand it. But if the 49ers are offering something like that, 26.7, and it sounds like they probably are, because
that's fair. That's fair money.
And they offered Debo got 23.8, but that was a long time ago. So you're giving him a bit of a bump. You're giving him $66 million, and that puts him about 7-8 in the league, which is about what Cooper Kupp makes. I mean, I think that's a fair deal. And if in most people are going, well, what's the difference between 27 and 30? When you're as tied up against the cap as the 49ers are going to be with Brock Purdy's deal and all the guys they need to re-sign, that money is absolutely a big deal and a sticking point, obviously, because that's where we are right now. 30 is what he wants. The Niners are probably more in the 26 to 27 range.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen? And I would love to hear the thoughts and read the thoughts of the fans and you people listening to us. By the way, via the text line, the love is really appreciated, especially this early in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I've turned into one, and I love this version of myself. Someone on the text line says, Carlos looks so young. His voice plays older. Is that you?
No, I didn't put that.
Was that you?
That's not my number. That is a 415 number, and I do have a 415 number.
Okay.
But that is not me.
All right.
Just that's not me.
Okay, whoever texted
you
that, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you.
For those who don't know, because I know you won't say it, You get up, you know, 5:30.
Yep.
Even though you say you're not a morning person.
Nope.
You work out before the show.
Yep.
Just to let people know, and I hope the bosses aren't listening. They probably aren't. 10 o'clock is the perfect show time. You know, 10 to 2, like the drive times get all the, you know, the accolades. They're like New York and L.A. You know, ooh, morning drive. Ooh, afternoon drive. But the thing is that if you're doing morning drive, you got to get up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. No, thanks. And if you're doing drive time, you never see your family really because they've eaten by the time you get home at like, you know, they get off at 6, you probably get home at 7. Not that that's late. It's not bad. But 10 to 2 is great. You still got half the day. Happy hour starts at 3. I mean, there's just, you know, but 10 o'clock is not too early but not too late. You know, you can, you can get a workout in. You look rested. Like, I mean, let's be honest, Murph and Marcus look haggard. I mean, getting up at 3, 4 in the morning, I don't care how young you are, man. It takes years off your
life. I did that shift in Venezuela for like 7 years.
It takes years off your life.
But here's the thing. Your day is over quickly.
Yeah, that's
true. At 10 a.m., you're done.
Yeah.
You are done. You can do whatever you want. You can go swimming, golfing, shopping, drinking, if that's your thing. You can go work out then. It's not too late to work out because, I mean, at 10 o'clock.
But you're always tired. Are you not always
But it
tired?
Depends. If you go to bed at 9 or 10, you're good. Like if you go to bed at 9 and wake up at 5, you know, that's a good 6 hours sleep. Six, you know, more.
Yeah.
5-8 hours
sleep.
Did
you like doing mornings?
Yes.
You did?
So here's the thing. I wasn't a morning person in college because I started working really young at 19. And I understood sports is a late night business because sports happens at night. Baseball, soccer, whatever, it happens at night.
So and you have to watch it.
No, that's the thing. You have to watch the game. It ends late and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I became a nocturnal creature. Not that I was one already, but I just my profession drove me towards the night.
Yeah.
I became a sports vampire. And then in college.
And then you had to get up early.
Right. And then I get my big break on radio, and it's, hey, do you want to do the 6 o'clock show? Not really, but I know what it means.
You're not going to say, you're not going to say no.
No, I'd rather sleep. No, I'll do it. So for 7 years, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. But and here's the thing. I had to go do radio from 6 to 10. Then I would do TV from noon to 1 in the same building because the station I worked for and the radio were the same company. So it was perfect. I would do radio, TV from 12 to 1. And then I had a second radio show from 1 to 3.
My God, man.
I would do AM radio, sports radio, 6 to 10, TV, 12 to 1, and then radio 1 to 3. By 3, my day was over, unless I had to call a game, which I a lot of times did. But I was in my 20s, 30s, so I had my battery was running high. I had no issues.
Yeah, right.
Right.
What about now? You have a ton of energy.
Still high. A lot of,
absolutely.
I mean, the battery's got juice. I'm good.
Yeah, but you work out every day. I mean, you know, you eat well. I was in the studio. I was watching you. You're eating, like, bars and smart things, drinking a lot of water. I mean,
There's
something to that.
So going back to Brandon Ayuk, what do you think? We took a pop a tangent here.
Well, no, you read the text about how good you look.
And it was my fault.
We went on a tangent.
It was my fault.
Yeah.
It was my fault.
No, it's not your fault. You're saying something about Ayuk? Who?
No.
Who?
You asked me if I thought what happened yesterday. Did it move it forward, or did it stuck a needle in the process for the worse? Did it deflate the situation for the worse? What do you think happened?
I don't think anything happened. I think that we talked a lot about it.
Stalemate?
But I think at the end of the day, I think you hit it right on the head, which is John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, through Adam Schefter said our stance hasn't changed. Now but here's the thing. As weird as that sounds, that could mean it can mean one of two things. A, what they said, we're not trading him, nothing changed. Or B, what it most likely means is we haven't gotten an offer near to what we want.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times that's what it is because there are no untouchables. The Warriors would trade Steph Curry if they got a crazy offer. The Giants would trade anybody on their roster. There's no Giants that are untradeable. There are very few players in all of sports that are untradeable if you give enough assets going the other way. So Brandon Ayuk is not untradeable. It's just they haven't come up with the right offer yet. Right? I mean, that's what I think is probably the situation.
Yes. I would agree that if someone came up to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and gave them what they want or more, I think it would take more. They wouldn't be satisfied losing a player like Brandon Ayuk for just, hey, we think he's worth A plus B. They would want A plus B plus C.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would be what my uneducated guess.
The great Carlos Ramirez is in. It's been awesome to have Carlos around. So
the text line has been really good to me today.
I'm telling you.
Are you seeing this?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
I wasn't a huge fan. Someone texted the 747. I wasn't a huge fan early on TV. I wasn't a huge Carlos fan early on TV, but he's been awesome filling in the last couple of weeks and last year. Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thank you for that. It really means a lot. Thank you.
Got to be careful with the text line. Just take the good.
I know. There's going to be some bad. I know. It's the world. I don't pretend to be perfect. Whatever. I get it.
Though they ground you when lots of good things come in and you read lots of good things, then the bad people come out. Then there's lots of bad things. You read that, then the good people come out. It's just a weird cycle.
It's a cycle. Someone said it explained why I was so much in touch with my family inside. He thought I would take it as a bad thing. No, I take it as a really good thing.
You said that yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the All-Star game from the uniforms to Logan Webb, giving up three runs to, we did get the at-bats we wanted. Mason Miller was great, as was Paul Skene. So we'll get into all those things, which will lead us to Giants conversations. We'll do all that coming up next. And remember, Andrew Brandt to explain from a former front office exec what's going on in the Brandon Ayuk situation. All that to come. Carlos Ramirez with us, Pop in London, only here on the Sports Leader.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store at mybobs.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate
I'm not
towards?
Self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Lethal. Filter out the noise and kick it with KNBR on the gram for everything 49ers. Follow the sports leader on Instagram at KNBR.
Well, if there is a holdout, it does get pretty interesting. And obviously for Brandon Ayuk, the most important thing, take care of the business side, take care of yourself. Make sure that whatever you're doing, you are getting the money you deserve. But if he is not there, it certainly does open opportunity for someone like Ricky Pearsall to step in and at least make an argument for snaps. And this draft pick.
That's Ian Rappaport rap sheet. They went crazy with the Ayuk news, the story that never seems to end. We'll talk to Andrew Brandt, former front office exec with the Green Bay Packers, about that whole situation. By the way, Carlos, and Carlos Ramirez was with us, and we will get to the All-Star game and everything that happened last night. I was looking, the career earnings, because you and I were saying, would Brandon Ayuk sit out? And I did find out that an accrued season is 6 weeks. So he could come in conceivably at week 11. He could accrue 6 weeks, and that's a full year.
Okay.
So 6 weeks is the accrued number. But he's made $12 million in his career to this point in his first 4 years, and he would make $14 million this year, which, again, is half of what he probably feels like he's worth. That's $780,000 per week that he would lose. It's an 18-week season. They don't not pay you on the bye week. So it's $780,000 approximate per week that he would lose, or about $9 million if he were to sit out up until week 11, so then he could get his accrued six. So if I'm the 49ers, and then we'll talk to Andrew Brown about this, if he doesn't want to come in, okay, you don't come in, but you're going to lose $9 million. I would make the bet that a guy who's made 12 in his career is not going to lose $9 million. So he may sit out all the way up until week one, kind of like what Bosa did. Bosa got it done, then he played week one against the Steelers. And that's a big game, week one, and you and I discussed it yesterday against the Jets. But I don't think Brandon Ayuk's going to lose $9 million sitting out. I think he might try to make the point in sitting out in camp, but when then the big money starts happening, about $780,000 a week for a guy who's made $12 million to this point, do you really think he's going to sit out and lose it?
No.
I don't either.
No, he's not. Why would he?
No.
I want to make the point that I made yesterday very clear. For those who weren't listening and those who were and maybe, you know, misunderstood what I was trying to say, John. I firmly believe in Brandon Ayuk's talent. I think he's a remarkable football player. I think he is a difference maker to a degree. I don't think he is Randy Moss or Jerry Rice or Tyreek Hill, even Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's really good, a very good wide receiver. But in the mix of our Marvel Cinematic Universe,
that was amazing
comp,
what you did.
Thank you. He has to know where he lands in the Avengers. He might be the Falcon. He might be Hawkeye in this team. If he goes to the Patriots, he is Iron Man. He right. is Black Panther. He is Captain America.
He's worth that money to them.
Yes. He is that kind of Avenger in that football cinematic universe. In the 49ers version of the Avengers, where Kyle Shanahan is Nick Fury, he is, at best, Falcon. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I thought about this working out this morning. Mm-hmm. You might know this. You might not.
Okay.
Who did the Falcon turn into when his time came? Do you know this?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Ronan? No, that's Hawkeye. Good guess. Falcon. Who did the Falcon? Captain America. Captain America.
Did?
Yes.
He did?
Why do I not know that? Anthony Mackie and his character, the Falcon, just became Captain America. The new Captain America trailer came out last week. Uh-huh. It is Captain America, Brave New World, I think is the name. Mm-hmm. So if Brandon Ayuk is patient in this team, he will eventually become a higher degree of Avenger because Debo will get traded or he'll reach whatever.
Yeah, right.
That's my point. Yeah, I just love how Marvel gives me football comps.
No, I think you bring up a great point. And they're not going to keep them both. But maybe it's just because I've been watching a bunch of receiver, you know, because they got Kittle and Debo on there. And they very rarely will. I mean, it's not that they won't show Ayuk. It's just Ayuk, I don't think to the point I've watched five or six episodes, he hasn't spoken. So, you know, Debo is so unique. And I know most will probably disagree with me on this. But I think it's easier to find an Ayuk than a Debo. And if I were to choose between the two, I'd take Debo. And I think Pearsall can be more Ayuk. Pearsall certainly isn't Debo. So I just think from a unique standpoint, I think Debo's more unique. And I know he's not the route runner. They're totally different guys. But I think you can find an Ayuk easier than you can a Debo. So I would keep Debo. But I don't think that's how the 49ers think. I think they'd rather keep Ayuk, especially for Purdy, than they would Debo. But, man, I keep watching Debo highlights, and it's like, you know, the run after the catch and what he did against the Rams and all these, and it's, you know, in Philly and all these different things on that tunnel screen, and I'm thinking to myself, if I had to choose between the two, I mean, I'm probably in the minority, right?
Yep.
Most people would want a Ayuk.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
But, all right.
So, just thinking about this, I'll just do this real quick. Next year's projected draft via ESPN.
They already have it up?
But, yeah. Matt Miller has a July 2nd NFL draft projection, right? So they have the Giants taking Carson Beck from Georgia, number one. They have the Raiders trading up and getting Shedeur Sanders, number two.
Wow.
Then they have a cornerback from Michigan, an edge rusher from Tennessee, an offensive tackle, two offensive tackles, a D-tackle. And then they have Luther Burton III from Missouri, a wideout, going to the Panthers. They have Travis Hunter, the wideout slash cornerback from my Buffaloes, going ninth, yuck, to the Cardinals. And then they have another wideout in Arizona, Tetaroa McMillan, going 11th.
Arizona.
That's three. So you have three wideouts in the top 15. Then you have another one going 18. You have another one going in the – I mean, it's the same thing every year.
And the point is that there's a bunch of them coming out every year. That's
right.
What I mean. I don't think that the 49ers value it. I wouldn't value it. We'll get more into it. But let's talk to Andrew Brandt. He's got experience in these kind of things, worked in the front offices for the Green Bay Packers, and he knows all when it comes to this kind of stuff. So how does he think this whole thing is going to play out? After that, we'll get into some All-Star game. John Lund, Carlos Ramirez, only here on the Sports Leader.
Wherever you are around the globe, stream your faithful home of 49ers football 24/7, 365 on KNBR.com. This is the Sports Leader.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. We were all set to talk Giants and baseball yesterday about this time, and then it comes out that Brandon Ayuk and his side had finally requested a trade, and it's kind of part of this process nowadays. You take the team stuff off your social media. You do Ryan Clark's podcast, The Pivot, and you bring Jaden Daniels with you, all this kind of stuff, and finally to the point where they're asking for a trade. But let's talk to Andrew Brandt about this because, of course, many years in the front office for the Green Bay Packers and other great stuff. Executive director, Morehead Center at Villanova, so he's probably a Knicks fan. All sorts of great stuff. But we're going to talk to him about how front offices are taking this kind of stuff, and he joins us courtesy of the Inwood Gas Line. Andrew, it is always our pleasure. How are you?
Hey, guys. Always good to be with you. And I think, yeah, we'll start there. I think fans and media make a lot more of these kind of things than the teams actually do. And I experienced this in the front office and even as an agent where these things happen. You have contract disputes, you have player disputes, but front offices know that at the end of the day, the player's going to be there. You know, it's not like the player's got options. Players can't trade themselves. Sometimes people don't realize that. Now, every now and then, you do get a superstar who can leverage his way out, but that happens tremendously more in basketball than it does in football because, listen, there are 80, 90 players are showing up next week. Teams don't have time to worry about one or one situation. They're trying to get a whole thing together there. So this, like you said, the playbook, you know, social media, agent requests, not happy. My feeling looking, again, I'm not there, but looking at it from afar, it's like if he was going to get traded, he would have been traded. If he was going to get a new contract, he would have gotten a new contract. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the 49ers would like him around, maybe not long term, but they need him this year. They've got him under contract. They don't need to do a new contract. And they obviously drafted a number one receiver who may not be ready this year, but hopefully ready next year when he can step right in. I mean, it seems like that's what's telegraphed out there.
Yeah, Andrew, Carlos Ramirez here. Glad to talk to you. You had a very poignant, brief, but accurate tweet yesterday where you said, and I quote, "Brandon Ayuk, I want to be traded. 49ers, that's cute. See you at camp." So your point being is he has no leverage, which I agree with. My question to you is, and it might not make any sense, but why now? Why do you think either Brandon or his agent or his inner circle advised him to do this now?
Again, only speaking from experience with the playbook, it's usually the last resort. It's usually a result of being told, whether subtly or not so subtly, nothing's changing. And there are two things that he seems like he wants to change. His contract and his location. Those are combined. I don't know if Brandon Ayuk would not want to trade if he was getting paid.
Right.
And I don't know if he'd want to go somewhere else if he was not getting paid. But you have to think about this. If someone's going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, there's the trade compensation, which we can speculate about, but there's the contract. That makes it difficult. You're not going to give up much for a player that's under contract for 18 more games. Like, that's not a great asset. So he would want a new contract. The wide receiver market, as everyone knows, has exploded. And 49ers, from what I've seen, are kind of saying, we're stopping. You know, we paid our other receiver, and that's where we are.
Andrew, just to widen the lens out a little bit, the thing I guess that's confusing to me, and it's not that these guys don't deserve the money, it's just there's been this kind of seismic shift in the value of the position. All these guys making $30 million, and I know that across the board in all the sports, guys are getting paid more than ever. But, like, the running back position hasn't reached that. The tight end position hasn't. But now we're looking at a handful of guys that are $30-plus million receivers when you see seven of them picked in the first round this year. A lot of, you know, you get guys in the second, third, fourth, fifth, hell, free agent type guys. Puka Nacua was awesome last year out of the fifth round.
Yeah.
It's not like quarterbacks where you better grab one because, you know, if you don't have one, it's, you know, it's the situation Miami finds themselves in or Dallas with Dak or whatever. Even if you have a good one, you got to pay them and they don't have to be great. But with receivers, I think part of the problem for Brandon Ayuk is you've got to give up compensation and you got to give him $30 million a year when you could just go out and you can draft one and there's opportunities in later rounds to even get really good ones. So I look at a supply and demand. I understand it from the quarterback position. I guess I just don't understand it from a position of wide receiver. I get Justin Jefferson. I get CeeDee Lamb. I get Ja'Marr Chase. But now we're getting into the range of I really like Brandon Ayuk. But I don't know that the 49ers have the philosophy that they're going to have two $25-plus million receivers on the roster. That doesn't seem like a Kyle Shanahan way to build a team.
It's traditionally been one of those positions that you can always get, just like you talked about. And in my day with the Packers, you know, you never thought of that position being up there near, you know, only second or third behind quarterback. But it's happened, and I think – this is the summer of 21 where, or maybe it was 22, where Tyreek Hill and Devonta Adams get traded. And just like we're talking about with Ayuk, with the trade came simultaneous massive contracts. And then it exploded. Then they had to re-up Cooper Kupp and then A.J. Brown and then all these other guys. And then this year with Justin Jefferson leading the way and Amon-Ra St. Brown, all these guys. I don't know if it's great value, but, you know, I look at the Eagles signing Saquon Barkley for $12 million. Everyone says, oh, man, that's so much for running back. Mm-hmm. Less than half of top receivers.
Right,
right,
right.
It seemed to me that they got great value on Barkley, even though he's the highest paid running back besides McCaffrey. So this is a new way to look at receivers. I will say this, the Adams contract, the Tyreek Hill contract, they and maybe others, they had these blow-up numbers in later years that are not guaranteed. So I don't know if the number is really $25 million a year.
Andrew Brand joining us here on the show. Andrew, let's put you back on the seat, on the front office seat. What do you think is a fair compensation for Brandon Ayuk at this point in time?
Talking money or are you talking draft?
Both. Players, draft, what? Go nuts. What do you think is the appropriate haul that the 49ers should get if they decide to trade Brandon Ayuk today? Draft, players, whatever.
You know, the trade comp, you look at other comps, but, you know, I'm not a scout. If I compare Brandon Ayuk to Devonta Adams, got a 1 and a 2. Tyreek Hill got a 1 and a high 2. I mean, A.J. Brown got a 1 and a 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's at that level. I don't think you can get that. And then the big contracts. Like, is he going to get paid what a Justin Jefferson got paid? I doubt it. I doubt it. Will he get paid in the second tier, the more the Amon-Ra St. Brown and those other deals? Maybe. Which, you know, depending on how you look at it, 24, 25, 26 million a year. But as I started, I don't see the 49ers doing either.
I would agree. And here's the big thing, and then this is it's great to have you on because you know all this stuff, but, you know, you were there for Favre and Rodgers and all this kind of stuff. And so they've got this guy who, whether it's 50, whether it's 60, whatever the number he's going to get the largest raise in the history of the league because he's making less than $1 million now. So you put on top of this that they're such a top-heavy team with the highest-paid running back, the highest-paid tight end, one of the highest-paid receivers. Warner's highly paid. Bosa's highly paid. At some point, you have to say, especially with Purdy getting the money he's going to get, and I know the chess game that you know a lot better than I do, the chess game you can play with the cap, but that's a lot of money they're going to give Purdy. So at some point, you have to say, right, we just can't value everybody, and maybe the buck does stop at Ayuk.
Yeah, that's a great point about the quarterback. You know, everyone in Wisconsin keeps asking me about when are they going to get Jordan Love's deal done. And Jordan Love's going to get, pick a number, 45, 50, 55 million a year. But you know what? Their entire receiving core makes about $10 million.
Yep.
You know, they've got the youngest receiving core in the league. They're all on rookie contracts. And they're productive. So the Packers are an example of, wow, you know, you can slow play the position financially. You've got to pay the quarterback, as every team does. And, you know, I think to bring home your point, you've got a player there in Purdy who's the most underpaid player in the league for three straight years, all because of the CBA. The CBA does not allow teams to renegotiate for 3 years. And that is extremely disadvantageous to him. Like, there's no player in the league. This guy's playing for $1 million, $2 billion a year when his peers are making 25 times that. So they have this ability to do extraordinary things cap-wise and cash-wise. But even with that, they're not just going to throw money at Ayuk.
Brand, Andrew Brand with us here on the show. I've been making the point since yesterday, Andrew, that I think Ayuk might be a victim of both circumstance and his surroundings. What I mean by that is timing, I think, in life, like in football, is everything. Had he been in the position that Debo was a couple of years ago when Brock Purdy hadn't exploded and the team had a different salary structure and contracts and they hadn't done the Bosa deal, maybe he has more leverage and or salary cap to play with, or the 49ers make a different choice. And when you see the structure of the team, and we've been making this Avengers comp since yesterday, if you go down the list, you got Captain America and Brock Purdy, and the Hulk is Nick Bosa, and George Kittle is, you know, Iron Man, and so on and so forth, and Christian McCaffrey is, you know, Doctor Strange, whatever. And then you have Ayuk, who might be, you know, the Falcon, or Ant-Man, or Hawkeye, who's, he's nice, he's a great, but if he goes to a different team, like the Patriots or the Broncos, then he becomes their Captain America or their Iron Man. So do you see him being sort of a victim of, you know, timing plus situation, surroundings, and whatever the people around him are telling him?
Yeah, I think he's got a message from the 49ers through his agent or through directly to him that he's obviously not pleased with. And these are tough things for the front offices. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to be professional. You're trying to be tactful. But in so many words, you're saying, we don't think you're as valuable as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard.
Right.
That's why so many people, I say this all the time when I speak, when I talk about my experiences. People think it's just numbers and cap and calculators. And that's part of it too. But the real key in any business is the same in football. It's people. And it's tough. I don't blame John Lynch. I just think this is really tough to manage. You've got a player that's very, very good, but they're not acting or transacting in the way that he thinks they should. And that creates some real problems. But back to my tweet, he's got no alternative.
Right.
So he's got to get in line.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was my point. But my follow-up question is, how do you see this playing out?
Well, I keep mentioning the CBA. It is not good for holdouts. I don't know exactly, but the punishments are worse than they were before. So I don't see any other alternative than being there. Now, people bring up the hold in, you know, where he fakes an injury or he's a pain in the butt, and that may have some, you know, that has worked in the past for some players. But you guys know better than I do whether he would resort to something like that. And the last thing I'll say is, when I was in Green Bay, my mentor, Ron Wolf, used to tell me, Andrew, I don't care how players feel about us in August. I just care how they feel about us in December.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's a quote.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, just your point real quick, and I know we got to let you run, and we really appreciate the insight. Brandon Ayuk's made $12 million in his career, which is nice. And even though he's going to make, you know, on this last year of his contract, because he was a first rounder, he's going to make $14 million. If he sat out until the accrued year, which you need 6 weeks for the accrued year, that's about $800,000 a week. So he's going to lose $9 million. He says he's not. He's going to make $14 million. He's going to be disgruntled. He may come in right before week one. But like you said, from a financial standpoint, if he wants to make a point and miss some camp time, that's $50,000 a day. So you know, like you said, he's really in a tough spot. As much as he wants to kick up dirt and ask for things and act certain ways on social media, like you said, the way that it's written, he just kind of has no other choice but to come in at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about this from an agent point of view. Number one, I would never advise him to stay out for all the reasons you just mentioned. Number two, I guess this requires, and I don't know if it's happened already, a real come to Jesus meeting with the front office.
Hmm.
Like, is your plan to let him go next year? Because, I mean, this was Aaron Rodgers, right? The Aaron Rodgers wanted out that first year. The Packers kind of said the same thing. We'll see you at camp. And, of course, he played that year. And then Jordan Love was ready a year later. This first-round pick you have, you know, you draft a first-round pick, he's going to play. He's going to play a lot. Maybe not right away, but he will play. He will be a frontline player for you just where he was picked. So where's that going to be? It seems like it's going to be in Ayuk's spot. Not this year, but next year. So
that's great.
If I'm the agent, I just want to hear that. And I know front offices have a hard time saying those things, but yeah.
That's great stuff. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate it. You always make things so much more clear for us and give us a great angle from the front office. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. People are asking about the newsletter. Go to Andrew.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go to mysunday7.com, and you get my Sunday newsletter. And then I do these reels about this stuff on Instagram. So I'm at Andrew Brandt, too, on the gram, as they call it.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
He is the best. At Andrew Brandt. Again, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter as well. Sunday 7 is the newsletter, Sunday 7, and hit up his Instagram, Andrew Brandt 2. He does these reels and tells you about all these different things going on. He's got, as you can tell, he's got the great experience on the gram. That's what John Miller calls it, too, the gram. There you go. Great stuff from Andrew Brandt. Let's talk about that. Let's get into the All-Star game. We have not yet hit that up, and because of the Brandon Ayuk talk yesterday, we didn't get to as much as we'd like, so we'll do that coming up next. By the way, thoughts on anything Andrew Brandt said right there? Basically said the 49ers have all the leverage. Give us your thoughts. Golden State Lumber and Building Material text line and call-in line is the same. We'd love for you to hit us up. Love to get your thoughts. 415-808-5627, 415-808-5627. KNBR. Carlos is with us today hanging out again. It is awesome. Only here on.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In store or at mybobs.com.
We're all juggling life, a career, and trying to build a little bit of wealth. The Brown Ambition Podcast with host Mandy and Tiffany the Budget Nista can help.
Let's talk about the financials behind locks. It can be quite pricey, but as your hair locks, it needs way less product. When I had my fro, it was way more costly as it relates to products because my fro was thirsty.
It's very expensive, yeah.
Yes, I need the whole bottle. So.
What, a dime-sized portion of what?
Girl, the laughter.
Brown Ambition.
Wherever you listen.
Sports Leader.
Papa and Lund continue live from the KNBR Casino Matrix Progressive Jackpot Studios. Casino Matrix, progressive jackpots are here. Where are you? Just drop in. Please play responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER.
I think fans and media make a lot more of these kind of things than the teams actually do. And I experienced this in the front office and even as an agent where these things happen. You have contract disputes, you have player disputes, but front offices know that at the end of the day, the player's going to be there. You know, it's not like the player's got options. Players can't trade themselves. Sometimes people don't realize that. Now, every now and then, you do get a superstar who can leverage his way out, but that happens tremendously more in basketball than it does in football because listen, there are 80, 90 players are showing up next week. Teams don't have time to worry about one or one situation. They're trying to get a whole thing together there.
That is Andrew Brandt, who for many, many years was in the front office for the Green Bay Packers, giving us some insight into Brandon Ayuk. We'll get to the All-Star game next. We just want to wrap this up and react to what Andrew said there. John Lund, Carlos Ramirez, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. He painted a picture, and you and I have talked about it, but often listeners, viewers, depending on if you're listening in one of the many ways that you can on many of our platforms or watching on YouTube or Twitch. I mean, he just painted the picture right there that essentially said, exactly what he tweeted out, and you quoted the tweet to him, Carlos, which is, hey, man, great. You want to trade. See you at camp. He's going to play on the $14 million. He's made $12 million in the first 4 years. He's going to make $14 this year. Well, that's half of what he wants. He's not going to accrue, first of all, $50,000 a day in training camp plus about $800,000 a week in pay that he would get up until week 11 when he'd have to accrue those 6 weeks to get a year so that he can be a free agent. If he doesn't come in ever, he's not going to be a free agent because he doesn't accrue the year.
Right.
So just I don't want to over-math people, but the bottom line to it is he's not happy making the $14 million because he should be making more. Nobody questions that. But he's going to come in at some point. I believe it's going to be right before week one, which isn't the best situation for the Niners. But if I had to guess what was going to happen, and you asked Andrew Brandt this, if I had to guess at this point what was going to happen, I would guess that he's going to miss training camp. He's going to come in before week one. He's going to play for the $14 million. And then at the end of the year, as Andrew Brandt continued to say, he used a Packer comparison, which was they knew that Rodgers was done. They knew Aaron Rodgers was done, but they needed to keep, you know, let's see if Jordan Love is ready. Jordan Love is ready. Okay, Jordan Love is ready. They let Rodgers go. They trade Rodgers to the Jets. He comes in. Ricky Pearsall's a first-round pick. And I keep saying this, wide receivers, you can get them. You got seven in the first round. The Niners got one. There's going to be, as you pointed out in the first segment of the show, there's going to be seven or ten taken again this year. You can get him in the third and fourth round. Puka Nacua was a Pro Bowler and over 1,500 yards. He was taken in the fifth round at a BYU last year.
Right, right.
You can find these guys. Brandon Ayuk, as good as he is, does not have the leverage. Minnesota has to have Justin Jefferson. They don't have anybody else. You know, Jamar Chase to Cincinnati. You've talked about the Avengers and made a great comparison with that. He's not one of those guys to the 49ers. Now, I still think it's going to come down to Debo or Ayuk, but if I had to guess at this point, I think that Brandon Ayuk is going to play on the $14 million. The Niners are going to kick the can down the road, see if Ricky Pearsall is something, and they'll deal with it at a later time.
Let's play this game. Do we have any game show-themed music
for
this one? Do we have one?
Yeah, Danny's good. He'll find
Danny,
it.
Let's go. Let's play this game.
What's the game?
The game is the salary good or bad? Salary good,
okay.
Salary bad. How about that?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going by average salary. Average, not total because it's different. I think the fair
AAV.
One.
Are you going by AAV years per or salary per year?
Yes, AAV. AAV. Yeah, going. Let's do that.
Average annual value.
Let's go to rank your wideout on KNBR with John Lund. We are ranking salary with your favorite wideouts.
I like that. I like your game show voice.
Thank you. Number one, making $35 million is Justin Jefferson. Is that accurate? Do you agree or disagree, John?
No, that's good. That's good. He's worth it. Best receiver in the game.
Number two, coming in at $32 million a year is A.J. Brown. Do you agree or disagree? Do you buy or sell?
I like him, but not at that number. No, I think he's no.
Number three, making $30 million, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Overrated. Really solid. But Brandon Ayuk, that's the hiccup. This is the holdup. The whole thing is when Amon-Ra St. Brown signed for 30, that's when Brandon Ayuk wanted 30.
We keep going down the list, making $30 million a year. Number four is Tyreek Hill. Do you agree or disagree?
Worth it. Although, you made this point yesterday, Kansas City traded him and still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's worth it, right?
Yeah, he's
He's
the best deep threat in the game.
We keep going, John.
Yeah.
Number five, the tandem from South Florida making $28 million a year.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle.
No. I don't think so.
It's
very fast, very, very good, but no.
Fast, but not furious. Okay.
Yeah.
Number six, thank you. You can play at home.
Yeah.
This is rank your wideout. Making $28 million a year. Number six, Devontae Adams.
Boy, he's turned me off watching a receiver. You'll watch this in Miami, and you'll see what I'm saying. Now, there's some rumors today that some people are like Devontae Adams for Brandon Ayuk. The Raiders aren't doing that deal, all right? You can love Brandon Ayuk all you want. The Raiders aren't doing that deal.
Coming in at number seven, John, $26 million, 26.7 to be accurate.
Yeah.
From the hated Los Angeles Rams, it's Cooper Kupp.
I would say he's worth it, but then remembering he's out, Puka Nacua came in, fifth-round pick, right? So I'll say yes, but he's not irreplaceable.
At number eight, making a round number, this is $25 million. Remember, we're playing Rank Your Wideout from the Philadelphia Eagles, Devontae Smith.
Now, he dropped it. And I'm just saying, I'm still not over it. Kyle, you should have challenged it. He dropped it. No, he's not worth it.
Coming in at number nine, making $24.2 million a year. From your Houston Texans, it's Nico Collins.
Who? No way. Come on. Like giving Nico Collins $24 million. No. I like C.J. Stroud.
He just signed it, though.
I know.
That's too much. Closing your top ten. We're going to go top ten. Closing your top ten average salary per year in the wideout market, making $24 million.
Yeah.
From the ill-fated, really hated Seattle Seahawks, it's DK Metcalf.
Come on. He's overrated, man. What's he ever done? Win anything. Makes plays. Great body. Very fast.
All right. If you're wondering where Deebo Samuel ranks, that would be number 11.
Yeah, next.
$23.8 million a year.
Okay, so as a whole, that's what I'm saying. We were talking to Andrew Brand about this. The position is overvalued.
Yeah.
It's not like quarterbacks. He was saying that it's jumped so much. Keep this music going because it's great.
You'll never guess who's number 12. Guess who's number 12.
But
never.
Like left quarterback, I understand. Left tackle, I understand. Corner, I understand. You know, edge, pass rushers, all that kind of stuff. We value certain positions. You can get wide receivers all the time. Nacua, fifth round. Cooper Kupp, third round. Deebo, second round. Like, go on down the line. Free agents. I mean, great receiver. You can get them all over the place. They don't have to be first rounders. And a bunch of them come into the league every single year and are effective right out of the gate. Part of the problem with Ayuk, Carlos, is that somebody's got to pay him $30 million a year and give the Niners the going rate like a first and a third when they could just draft one.
Very good. Tremendous tangent, John Lund. You'll never guess who's number 12. Can you guess who is number 12?
No, who's number 12?
Michael Pittman Jr. making $23 million. Then you go Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, T. Higgins, D.J. Moore, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper.
And they're all over $20 million. Yeah. They're all over $20
million. The $20 million line is set at Amari Cooper and Chris Godwin at $20 million each.
Look, I don't know.
And listen, you're missing here CeeDee Lamb. You're missing Jamar Chase.
They're going to be over 30.
Right.
Those two guys are going to be over 30.
But, easy. I mean, I can see this from both sides. If I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'm saying.
If the music's
better than
going, you have to do the voice.
If I'm Brandon, let's play now. Be Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, you can turn the music off.
Thank you. I can see this.
Well done. Thank you. Dude, I'm telling you, if, like, Ryan Seacrest fails at.
I can do this gig.
You can be a talk show host in a second.
Okay, Drew Carey, watch out.
Oh, you can't crush.
Price is right. All right.
He's due to be replaced.
If you're Brandon Ayuk, you could see, John, why he would want more money than Metcalf, Nico Collins, Devontae Smith. He's younger than Devontae Adams, not better. You can see it. I can understand it. Again, the point is where he plays, who he plays with, and who's up next. And who is up next is Brock Purdy. And he's going to make a bunch of money. So it's unfortunate for him because he deserves this kind of money. Not in this team, period.
So let me ask you this, because you asked me this. How do you think it's going to turn out?
I think he's going to play this season. And, I mean, I hope they figure it out, but I just don't see how.
Do you think they'll get a contract done, or do you think he's going to? Because I think a trade is out. Okay, from this standpoint, the 49ers are a win-now team. They want to win a Super Bowl.
If there's no injuries, yes. If there's if there's a team that needs a wideout,
because somebody's going to get hurt in camp, it always happens.
Right. If that happens, I can see that's the only caveat I would put in to this whole Brandon Ayuk situation. If a team desperately needs a wideout because someone gets hurt, they will knock on the door of John Lynch and give them whatever he wants to fill that role, and then they will pull the trigger because they're going to get a haul.
Right. But I guess my thing is that the 49ers are looking at this season and maybe next season. We've talked about this a million times as maybe the final two or three opportunities to win a Super Bowl. So if there's not, in my mind, the way I think they're thinking is that if they're long term, trading Brandon Ayuk is a better long-term move, but it certainly isn't a better short-term move. So if you're in win-now mode, how does trading Brandon Ayuk help you this year?
Here's what I think the 49ers, and again, this is an opinion. I haven't talked to anyone. This is not information. This is my opinion, my gut feeling. I firmly believe what the 49ers would like to do is convince Brandon to play this year under his current contract. Convince him to wait the year. They will give him what he wants next year when they trade Debo. I think they're much more comfortable going longer with a player like Ayuk with the history the injury history that Debo has, moving off of him in that contract and sticking with Ayuk and Pearsall, having signed McCaffrey who can do what Debo does. That's what I think they're trying to convince Brandon of. And I'm Brandon, I'm thinking, why am I going to do that?
Now you're saying hell no. Because what if he gets hurt?
That's the point. That's right. He doesn't want to risk that. Right. Or a bad year for that matter.
If he has a bad year, if he rips a knee or heaven forbid an Achilles or something like that, then
he's toast.
Right. And that's the whole point here is you can play on, you know, 1 year deals, you can play on top five receiver money, all that kind of stuff, but these guys want, like we talked about this before, Spot Rack said 4-104 was 66 guaranteed. His mind is on the 66 guaranteed because then he could take, you know, generations, take care of generations of his family. That's what these guys are all trying to do. So look, we've said this. I understand the Ayuk side. I understand the 49er side. The new information, if you're just tuning in, going, didn't you guys talk about this yesterday? Is that Andrew Brandt just joined us and explained how a lot of this works. He used to be in the front office for the Packers for years. He doesn't have any leverage. Because the only leverage he has is to withhold services. If he withholds services, it's $50,000 a day for missing camp. It's about $800,000 per week during the year.
Yep.
And to put that in perspective, he's made $12 million in 4 years. He can make $14 million if he plays this year, which is probably half of what he's worth. But if he doesn't come in until week 11, he needs 6 weeks to get accrued so he can be a free agent. I don't want to go too deep into this and make people's head spins. But he's missing $800,000 a week. That's $9 million that he's going to lose before he gets the 6 weeks he needs to be accrued. How's he going to make that money back
at some point? He's not. And again, if you look at Debo's deal, John, there's a potential out for the 49ers in 25. So that's what I would think the Niners are trying to convince Brandon to do. Listen, B.A., play this. We can't lose. The Bay Area cannot lose another iconic number 11. Clay just left.
I never thought about that.
We cannot have another number 11 debacle in the Bay Area. Now, I'm being funny about it. That's not what they said. It's called sarcasm. What I think they're saying is, B.A., please, play this out. Brock is due next season. Deep, we can get from under Debo's deal next season. We'll remake, if you want to stay with him, if he is healthy and he is being productive, we'll find a way to make it work for both and the team. But if not, they're going to have no issues cutting ties with Debo and giving him a long-term extension. But I don't know if he's going to go for it. But I don't know if he has any options.
I just think he doesn't have any options. And the thing that's made him frustrated at this point is an unprecedented offseason in which all these receivers got paid. And if the 49ers say to him, and this is probably what they have said to him, just wait some more, his head's going to blow off. And but he doesn't have a choice. Well, as Andrew Brandt told us, he really is sitting here, oh, poor guy, has to play for $14 million. But the bottom line is he really doesn't have a choice unless he wants to lose all that money by sitting out. And even his agent would probably sit there and say, hey, no. We can't sit here and lose four. Sorry, Brandon, you got to play on the 14 because you're going to sit out and lose $800,000 a week. We can't make that up.
There's someone on the text line who is suggesting a trade that if this were to be suggested, even as a whiff of this were to come via John Lynch's way, I think he would pull the trigger. Let's debate it after the break. What do you think?
All right, then let's
That's
get
a tease.
Into some. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
And then let's get into the All-Star game. We haven't talked much about that. Forgettable experience, even though I'm sure he's happy that he went. Logan Webb gives up a few runs. The National League loses again. Plus, Walter came up with a great idea today. We'll do that at 11:30. That has to do with the Giants. We haven't given out awards this week. The first half awards,
yes.
And look ahead to the second half of the season. So we got to get into some Giants too. We'll do a lot coming up next. Carlos Ramirez with us, Pop and Lund, only here on the Sports Leader.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Good to see you, Bruce Feldman, the Big 12 landscape. I just know how Dion is, where he's coming from. His wins are measured differently. The question is, as you said, it's got to go from 4 to 8.
I think they can do that. It would be hard not to get better considering how bad they were on the offensive line last year. Now, their schedule actually feels harder this year than it was last year.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.